Blog Talk Radio.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone.
Hi, everybody. We are back here with the JewelCast. This is John, as always. There is no one else on the line yet. I don't know if Eric died at the same time Twitter died, but right now I appear to be going in alone, which is always a blast, let me tell you. It's so weird, too, because Eric... Oh, wait, maybe here he is. Eric, is that you?
That is.
Awesome. I don't like being on here by myself. It's just so weird. It's like you're talking to, I don't know, no one. Like, people can hear you talk, which is a weird part, but you're not talking to anyone. Like, I don't know how any of these solo podcast hosts do it, honestly.
Just so weird. Yeah, like, I mean, it's for example, Serial, I'm almost done with that one, and I don't understand. Even cutting in speeches and interviews and quotes and everything, it is really hard to stay compelling for more than, 30 seconds.
Yeah. So, we are live here on the JewelCast, even though probably not very many people are listening because Twitter is dead. Like, what the hell?
Dead.
Why is Twitter dead? Who killed Twitter?
I don't know, but we're in the middle of 4 off days, right? So, I can see why King's Twitter might be a little lazy.
Eric. Have you been on Twitter in the last 20 minutes?
No. Oh, it's down?
It's literally it's not down. Even it's this weird thing where, like, you'll see a few tweets from a few people. For the most part, your timeline, it's like you're not seeing anything for, the past 40 minutes or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, it's not down, but it is down. It's really weird. So, I meant literally dead. Not like, oh, there's no one on it. No, it's just dead. Somebody killed Twitter. Anyway, Nicole is actually waiting on the line, but we're going to bring her on in a little bit. Like, she's waiting on the line because she's been banished to the other room because I'm worried if we're in the same room when we do this, she will, we'll have a weird echo or something. So she's going to, listen on the other phone line, and then we'll put her on whenever we're ready, I guess. Also, she and I both might fall asleep on this podcast. Like, we did not see it at all last week. So, it might just be you and two people snoring. That might be the suggestion of the podcast.
That's good, because we just went over how awesome it is when one person does all the talking.
Well, we do have Kevin Power from Blue Shirt Banner calling in, too, so I guess the two of you can talk over our story. So, my time is all screwed up because of Japanese wrestling, Eric. Because I stay up 2 to 6 a.m. People were mad at me for tweeting about that on my personal account. A couple of Kings people were mad at me about this, and one accused me of just doing it to beef up my tweet number, because people do that, I guess.
That is,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Why anyone would want their tweet number to be... I saw what my, number of tweets are after he said that. I'm like, you think I want to have 55,200 tweets or whatever? That's not a good thing. I wasted all my time. No wonder why learning Japanese isn't going so well, because all I ever do is tweet. But
also, I want to give you a warning before we get into anything else. Today's random background sound of the day is a bicycle horn, which has been going off like nonstop. Someone's been honking a bike horn for the last 10 minutes. So if anyone hears that, that's why.
Are they trying to warn you of something, Eric? Are the British coming? Is that like 2015 British? Yeah, here come the British. Take them back what's rightfully theirs, I guess.
On their old school one giant wheel bicycles.
Yeah, except not, though. I mean, if it's taken back what's rightfully theirs, it'd be like, you know, hordes of American Indians coming. But
Right.
Maybe that's what the bike horn means. Maybe Whitey's finally going to get what it deserves.
Well, I'll keep you updated on the bike horn throughout the podcast.
That's good. So how was your New Year, Eric?
It was good. As you know, I made a quick jaunt to New York to visit family, which is fun considering the topic for today's podcast. But I had a very good time. I got today off, even though I got back from New York late last night. So I spent most of the day doing nothing, which is really nice.
We didn't get to see you, which is a little sad, but we're going to see you in like less than 2 months now. So
yeah,
it's not that
big
a deal.
We're good.
Now, hopefully the offer for Nicole and I to come stay at your swinging bachelor pad still stands, because we're counting on that.
Well, I have about 2 months to clean it up, so it'll take about that long. I think we'll be good.
Yeah. And you're going to go to King's Ducks with us, right?
Of course. I got some practice. I went to a Ducks game. Actually, right before I went to New York, I went and saw the Ducks and the Canucks, and the Canucks were absolutely terrible. So thankfully,
we have a commitment from Jake Sundstrom from Fear the Finn to go to that game, too. I don't know why on earth he would want to go see the Kings and Ducks play each other, but apparently he does, so it's going to be a regular party.
Well, it's kind of fun watching only teams you hate, because then you just root for either chaos or you just heckle both teams equally, so I can see some merit.
I think he does hate the Ducks significantly more than the Kings, so maybe that's why he's able to go. I'm 99% sure that's true, actually. I don't even know why I'm saying 99. 100% sure he hates the Ducks more. But unless it's changed since we last discussed this, which I doubt it has. But, so that'll be exciting for the great Los Angeles takeover of late February. And I really don't know why we're discussing that on the podcast, actually. But
yeah, let's get to the last few Kings games. How about that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's get Nicole in here.
All
Nicole.
Hello?
Oh, my God. I have you on, but I can hear you, even with the door closed, I can hear you all the way in the living room, and it is a delay.
Oh.
So it's like you say hello, and then I hear hello on the phone, too. It's so weird.
I mean, I could sort of hear you before, but muffled through the door, so.
Yeah, it sounds okay over here, so.
Yeah.
As long as it's good for the listener, that's all that matters. So Nicole is here. She is a Rangers fan, I guess an ex-Kings fan? I don't know.
A lapsed Kings fan.
I mean, she saw more of Kings and the Nashville Predators than I did, I think, as I wrote about in today's TWIC. I actually fell asleep during the later half of that game, so I missed all the Kings goals but one. And so that was I woke up just in time to see the Kings lose that game, so that was interesting. Nicole, why don't you describe what you saw in Kings Predators?
What? Well, first of all, I missed goal four, I think, the one that was by Dwight King, to bring it within two. And then all of a sudden I heard about goal five, and I was like, oh, my God, are they really going to do this? Because it was, a minute and a half left in the game. I was like, if any team's going to do this, it's going to be the Kings. And then they did it, and I gasped so loudly that John woke up from his nap, almost flew out of the bed, okay? Because he was so excited, I guess.
Yeah, I was very excited. It's true.
It was pretty great.
Meanwhile, he had to go off, like, 2 hours ago, but...
Yeah, because I was in New York for that game, so I pretty much just had to go back on highlights and everything. But the great thing is I was watching the football game with my cousins, Alabama and Ohio State, at the same time. And the same time that Ohio State made a huge play, they got an interception, I think, and ran back for a touchdown, and the Kings scored goals 5 and 6. So for about 10 minutes, my Twitter between Kings fans and every other sports fan in the universe was just going crazy for a while, and I couldn't really parse everything out. And then before I knew it, it was over.
Yeah, that was really hilarious, I guess. Like, I didn't even see it. Like, I was still too groggy, and, like, I was looking away, I guess. And then, and the Predators scored 18 seconds in, I was like, wait, what? It's over? But I don't know how people could get mad. It's like, you got a fucking point in a game where you were down 5-1, in a game where you were down, what, 3 goals with, like, 2 minutes left or whatever? So
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, and
they scored three goals in they scored 3 goals in a minute and 27 seconds. So they had no business getting even a point in that game. And the fact they got a point is great. So I don't know why people were really mad on Twitter. And I didn't understand it.
Maybe I'd call it more exasperation, but I think the Kings PR account tweeted out that the last time, let me see if I can find it. The last time a team erased a 3-goal deficit that late in the third period was 1991. And it was actually the old Jets and the Calgary Flames. So this isn't like...
For the Coyotes.
Right, exactly. So I can't get mad about losing that game in overtime. And I guess other than, you know, we've got the miracle on Manchester, and we've got the 2001 comeback from 3 goals down. Even that one was with, like, 8 minutes left. So this was nuts.
Well, I mean, you got a point in a game where your goalies were incredible garbage, both of them. So, like, whatever. Who cares?
And in that article I posted about, what was that?
No, I just said take the point, laugh, and move on.
Yeah. The article I posted about Martin Jones this morning, I noted that between the Montreal game where he gave up 6 goals and his relief appearance against Nashville, his save percentage from the season dropped from 947 to 908. So he went from an incredible backup to a pretty below average goalie in the span of like 100 minutes of game time.
I wonder if a 908 is actually below average for backups or not. Be interesting.
It's below average for an NHL goalie. For
goalie. For
a backup.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of backups play like 3 games and they have really, really elevated save percentages. So it's probably still a little bit below average.
Well, whatever. I'm sure the Kings will survive this incredible, dangerous hole at backup goalie. It's one of these like first world hockey problem things is the LA Kings complaining about their backup goalie. Let's be real. Anyway, so the other games in the week also had the comeback theme. The Vancouver game, they scored 2 goals very late in that game to first tie it and then win in regulation. Now, you know, the Canucks had no business leading in that game to begin with. Like, I think even before they tied it, the shots were like 10 or something. And then they scored those 2 goals and they won it in regulation. But it's like, it really had no business being a tie game anyway. I mean, even going to overtime. So like, it was a funny way to win, but like, it was not a fluke or anything. They should have won that game. They destroyed them by every metric possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much more there is to say about that one. I mean, Sheng wrote a really good recap of it. But it basically just boils down to, you know, the second period, I think they like quadrupled their shot attempts. They had a huge scoring chance advantage, which Sheng is Sheng underscore Peng on Twitter. He's been tracking scoring chances for the last few games, and a few times the Kings have had a big shot advantage or a big Corsi advantage, but the scoring chances actually haven't been that much in their favor. Vancouver, they dominated that as well.
So Kevin Power is on the line right now. Kevin, hold on. We'll put you on in a sec if you want to finish this weekly recap real quick. So that was the Vancouver game. It was kind of funny that both goals were kind of bad goals for Miller to let in after he had been so good for the entire game. Like, they pepper him with 38 shots and can score one goal. And then Justin Williams scores from a pretty terrible angle, short side goal. And then Jared Stoll scores from also a bad angle, also a short side. It was a fucking flap shot, too. So, like, no goalie's going to want to let either one of those in. So that was kind of funny, I guess. I don't even know if we need to talk about the Edmonton and the Calgary games. I mean, they were pretty stupid.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. But, all right, let's bring Kevin on here. Kevin is a writer, which is SB Nation's New York Rangers blog. How's it going, Kevin?
It's going pretty well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're wrapping up our recap of the Kings week. I mean, I should have told you to call in 20 minutes because I forget that we always take about 10 minutes to even remotely talk about hockey on this podcast. It's become a JewelCast tradition to spend the first 10 minutes talking about the most random crap. So we don't stray from the formula. The formula that gets us our dozens and dozens of loyal fans. Anyway, so the Rangers, I guess we should transition to talk about them. The Kings and Rangers are going to be having a Stanley Cup Final rematch on Thursday at the Staples Center. Daryl Sutter did not care one bit about this when it was brought up to him at the end of Saturday night's game. He could not give less of a shit. He made that very clear. He was like, oh, those games were a long time ago, and the game on Thursday is a long time from now. Whatever the hell he said. He basically made it clear he did not care at all. We care. And, you know, like, what other theme are we going to use for tonight's show, really? We're going to, like, have a friggin' Nashville guest on? Is there even Nashville writers? Actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that. I know, like, one. But anyway, so obviously we had to go with the Rangers theme. And, yeah, so here we are. Kevin, I don't want to spend too much time on the Stanley Cup Final because it's obviously painful memories for you and Nicole. What was the takeaway, I guess, from that series as a Ranger fan, if you had one?
Oh, jeez. From Dominic Moore's goal in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, it went from pure jubilation to an entire mess of emotions to just a giant void of emptiness after Jazz hands.
I guess there was
just this giant blur from Dominic Moore's goal to Alec Martinez's goal in Game 5, where it took me a while to catch up, basically.
I don't remember what you were saying going into the series, but before the series started, how realistic or how optimistic were you about the Rangers' chances of winning it? Because I think the Kings fandom was almost, I don't want to say overconfident, but I guess I kind of do want to say overconfident. Like, I think we didn't feel like we were going to lose that series. It just kind of felt like Chicago was if we got past Chicago, we were going to be able to beat the Rangers. I tried to caution a little bit and say the Rangers were probably better than people give them credit for, but, you know, the Rangers are my eighth team. I watch them a lot, so, you know, I'm probably kind of biased here anyway. But, like,
well,
did you guys really think you had I don't even want to say a decent shot, but did you think it was likely you would win, and how realistic were you going into it? Like, what was your feeling on it?
Well, midway through the Montreal Rangers series, I think like game 4, where the Rangers gave up 4 goals early and then came back to tie it at 4 and then lost 7-4, I tweeted out that that whoever won the Eastern Conference Finals would lose in five games to the Kings or Blackhawks.
Wow.
And then Dominic Moore scored, and I'm like, yeah, we're going seven. It's going to be a hell of a series. I talked myself up so much. I was like, yeah, we could probably maybe do this. But then I started, you know, coming back down. I'm like, oh, I just hope to survive. And then Carl Hagelin scores, Benoit Pouliot scores, and then Dan Girardi just takes a crap in the middle of Staples Center Ice in game one and just...
See, I don't feel the
need. I didn't feel that we were going to win at all. I never felt we had a chance.
I do remember, Paul. I do remember.
It was very hard to be excited about the Stanley Cup final and then realize, oh, shit, we have to play the Kings. Or, oh, shit, we have to play the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Like, it was, hey, the Rangers are in the Stanley Cup final, and then reality slaps you in the face.
It's true.
It's trying to weigh that 20 years of jubilation with the reality of who you're facing. Because there was a good, from 2000 to about the first lockout, the Rangers were a joke. You have to understand that for a good, actually even before 2000, from about 98.
I was gonna say, wasn't that 90? Yeah, 98.
From 98 to about 2000, the Rangers were to about the first lockout. The Rangers were a joke, and then Henrik Lundqvist comes. Jaromir Jagr has a. Was robbed of an MVP season by
yes.
Joe Thornton.
The players gave it to him. He won the player award, MVP award.
Who remembers that?
Whatever the hell. I remember that because I love Jaromir Jagr, but he won the Ted Lindsay, whatever the hell the thing was called. The award named after a guy the players hated.
So it was all this moment, and then they have this. They had that run in 2011 where John Tortorella basically said, "Here, Henrik, just carry us for almost 90 games." And then when all that ran out against the Devils, it was. And then we get this, and then we get last season where it was just such a good team on an incredible run, and then it's just all this jubilation. And we face the Kings. And we take them to overtime three times, double overtime, I think, twice.
And nothing to show for it. It's depressing.
It really is. And the best game they played is a game that they got shut out by Jonathan Quick in, like, three goalposts.
Well, the reverse went, too, though. The best game the Kings played in that series, they got shut out by Lundqvist and some snow.
And the goal lines. Yes,
and
that's
the
right.
It was such a weird Stanley Cup final when you look back on it. But how often do both teams lose their best game of the series? It's just so weird. But yeah, the Dark Ages is interesting. For the Kings and the Rangers are almost they almost match up, except for the fact that the Kings had 2 years
Stanley Cups.
Well, no. I'm talking the Dark Ages. I'm saying they almost match up
okay.
because. Except for the fact that the Kings went to the playoffs a couple times in the early 2000s, and they had that miracle upset of Detroit in the first round before Colorado smacked us. But, like, other than that, they were both bad for the late 90s and, you know, going forward. And the Rangers made it back to the playoffs way faster than the Kings did because the Kings took until 09-10 to make it back, whereas the Rangers did it like, the very first year after the lockout. But, it was interesting. It was a weird time for both. You know, you have a New York and an L.A. team in this sport, and neither was very relevant for a very long time. So it was a very weird time. So just seeing them meet in the Cup Final as someone who's a fan of both teams, first of all, was very surreal, especially after seeing them both be bad for so long. And, you know, even when they were making the playoffs, like, it never really looked, I would say, particularly hopeful. But... obviously, the Kings did turn things around and win two Cups. And the Rangers turned things around and went to a Cup Final and two Eastern Conference Finals. So that's not nothing either.
Yeah.
it's just really weird, though. They came from the days of the Rangers signing Bobby Holik to, like, $9 million a year.
Trading for Eric Lindros.
Trading for Eric Lindros. Trading for, like, the broken-down shell of Eric Lindros. Meanwhile, the Kings were, like, Adam Deadmarsh was our best player. Or the Kyle Calder era. I don't know if we can bring up. And we also have the Alex Frolov connection. We'll never forget.
The wraparound.
I do remember that year, the one year he played with the Rangers, where he tried a wraparound in literally every game, and he finally scored on one in, like, game 81 or 82, I think. It was just amazing. The world needs more Alex Frolov. You know, I think he finally retired, by the way, because he went back to the KHL. I think I haven't seen any stats for him this year. So I think he finally done. Yeah, very sad. The world is without Alex Frolov.
He's retired.
He is retired. Yeah, it's very sad. He needs to come back and be the first ever. Well, would he be the first ever Russian NHL coach? I feel like there was a guy. I feel like there was some guy at the Blackhawks.
I don't know.
I'd have to look it up. I don't feel like looking it up.
Yeah.
But we should move on now. And the Rangers obviously had a weird offseason. It didn't go that well. I think most people would probably agree. I mean, losing Anton Strom was a big, big blow. And either the best defense on the team or the second best defense on the team. Very, very close. It wasn't the best. So losing him was really a big blow. And the team has got off to a similar start, I felt, as they did last year. But they've recovered since then. So what do you take away from, I guess, first of all, from the Rangers off season and the half a season they played so far?
Well, I think that to talk about this year's offseason, you have to go back to last season where every Ranger fan with a brain was screaming to re-sign Strawman and to fire Dan Girardi into a sun. Because we all saw the numbers. Anton Strawman was carrying Mark Stahl like Ryan McDonough was carrying Dan Girardi. It's like he picked him up. It's like Forrest Gump carrying Bubba or Lieutenant Dan through Vietnam. And you saw it when Ryan McDonough was hurt. Dan Girardi and Mark Stahl just cannot adjust to the speed, and everyone was saying that the Rangers had to give Strawman that contract, and I think they're seeing why right now. They signed Dan Boyle, and for the most part he's worked out. He's really helped the power play, but the broken hand, he's still coming back from that. And if you had, let's say, McDonough, Strawman, Boyle, Stahl, Moore, Klein, Hunwick, however you want that bottom pairing to turn out, that top four puts them in with the best in the East. But when you have Ryan McDonough trying to carry Dan Girardi and then Dan Boyle with a broken hand trying to get back into play and his legs aren't what they used to be, trying to carry Mark Stahl, who's another one that traded sooner rather than later. He can't be re-upping. He can't get a 5-year deal. You can't have Dan Girardi and Mark Stahl for 5 years, $30 million each. That is going to kill this team going forward. And the less said about fuckface MacGuber, the better.
I do want to, like, I guess, transition off of that. I've liked Dan Boyle's play when he's in the lineup, from what I've seen of him. Especially on the power play, he's been good.
He's been good. I think that he's still coming back from that broken hand and getting his shot back. But I think you can see that he's a good skater. He just doesn't have the speed that he used to. And I've been pleasantly surprised with his play this year.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly try to tell people when they, because I've seen a lot of him, obviously, in the Pacific Division. I try to tell people when they signed him that it wasn't going to be a disaster, that he was probably going to be fine. And he's I think even been better than that. But anyway, Nicole, what did you, I know you weren't a fan of the off season either, but do you have any general thoughts of their off season?
No, I mean everyone knows how upset I was when we signed Tyron Glass. I remember it happening and literally thinking that somebody was playing a prank on me. Then people were joking around on the Twitter feed. And then I was like, oh, this is a real thing. This is really happening. But I mean, I was disappointed overall in the off season. I was really worried about Boyle because he is, you know, kind of old. But I mean, like Kevin, I think I am pleasantly surprised by his play. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Stallman level, but I mean, it's not awful or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, he can't like carry Mark Stahl. And I actually really like Mark Stahl, but I don't like Mark Stahl cannot get like a Dan Girardi contract. Like, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
I actually remember I got the NHL Game Center notification when they signed MacGuber in a history class, and I was very close to throwing my desk out the goddamn window. I was shaking. It was so bad. Like, if I could find it in the archives on my Twitter account, I would just tweet it out now, because I remember I just flipped out about it on Twitter at the time.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many other better options out there for any purpose, really. And I just did not understand the purpose of science. Like, I didn't like Derek Dorsett, but when we got rid of Derek Dorsett, I was like, oh, great, we're transitioning away from this type of player. And then they got someone who's actually far worse than Derek Dorsett, and I was just like, what the hell?
They got someone who is far worse than Dan Carcillo.
At least Dan Carcillo is occasionally serviceable, right?
Yeah, if you want to piss off Flyers fans.
But the team, so the actual team on the ice, I mean, it had a rocky start, but there were a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
Their possession numbers have been down. Like, there's no question about that. But at the same time, they're the third highest scoring team in the league, which, you know, even as someone who just likes the Rangers, it's so weird to me because the Rangers used to be, forever, they've been right there.
It's like being in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Like, it's just so weird. The Rangers are the third highest scoring team in the league. But anyway, so they score a lot of goals, and they actually give up the second fewest shots from the scoring chance area in the league. Only Florida gives up less. So, like, that's a good stat, too. It shows they're strong defensively. What do you make out of the Rangers? Are they a real contender in the East? Are they, like, a dark horse? Are they due for a drop-off because of the shooting percentage?
See, I think that I think the team is due for a drop-off in shooting percentage, but that's mostly because Rick Nash and especially Kevin Klein won't keep shooting 25% this year. But on the other hand, you're going to have guys like Chris Kreider. He's going to start scoring. He's looked better of late. You're going to have Marty St. Louis go on a bit of a tear. You're going to have, hopefully, Anthony Duclair in the lineup more now. You're going to have the Rangers are adding more offensive pieces throughout the lineup. And I think that they're going to be they're probably not going to finish higher than they did last year. They'll still make the playoffs. But it's going to be almost like last year where they had that slow start that held them down, and they're going to be a very tough team in the playoffs once that rolls around, because you're going to have, especially if Rick Nash shoots better than 4%, which I think it's Rick Nash he's going to. It's mathematically improbable that he keeps shooting 3%, 4%, whatever it is in the playoffs.
No, he just doesn't have any heart, Kevin.
Oh, yeah,
no,
that's right.
Clutch heart.
He's not grit.
No grit. No clutch, no heart, no grit.
That's why we signed Tanner Glass.
Yeah.
Grit chart.
Yes.
I mean, Nicole, do you have any feelings on the Rangers so far and what's expected of them going into the second half in the playoffs?
I mean, I don't think we're going to make a deep run in the playoffs unless, like, something significant changes. I mean, I guess there's always hope for the trade deadline. But I don't even know, you know, what we would get. But I'm just saying, like, that's to me, like, the only, like, if there's some kind of change there that, you know, I think increases our possession numbers, and then we continue to, like, limit scoring chances in the, you know, in the scoring chance zone, then I think we could actually maybe make another deep run. But otherwise, I don't know. I'm thinking like a second round exit. So.
Someone's mother dies again, and all of a sudden they go off
that's
on a
true.
Run.
That's true. That is what turns it all around. horrible.
That is horrible. All right, but like seriously, though, on what I was trying to say with the East, like when you look at the East, clearly Tampa is better than they were last year, and on the same token, clearly Boston is worse than they were last year. Like, not even just their record, like their possession numbers are falling off too. So like, if you just look at Tampa replacing Boston as that scary elite East team, I don't really know if the path is that much harder in the East. Like, the Penguins are probably a little better, the Islanders are better, but you know, who the hell knows what's going to show up for them in the playoffs. And then you have, you know, you have Tampa, and then I guess maybe Detroit, and that's really it. Maybe Florida looks kind of tough, I guess. But, like, is the East still looks
what
wide open.
What teams did you just name, John?
See, but none of these teams are contenders is what I'm trying to say. Like, the only group of those teams I think of as an actual, like, honest-to-God contender is Tampa. So, I mean, if you get
you
lucky
don't think
and Tampa
it's the
gets
Panthers here?
No, I don't think it's the Panthers here. I think they're still a year or two off, personally. But, I don't know. It's just the East still looks wide open to me, but... Maybe I'm not giving the Lightning enough credit or somebody.
I think there's one team you're not giving enough credit, and that's the Islanders.
Yeah.
I think the Islanders, I think adding Boychuk and adding Letty really helped the Islanders. I think they're still a young team that is learning how to play very well, and the only hindrance is their coach. They're like the Maple Leafs, but good. That if they actually got a good coach like say a Dan Bylsma behind the bench, they'd be a legit threat. But as long as the Sopranos not a knockoff character is behind the bench, then
yeah, I don't know because I got to watch some New York hockey because I was telling John that I was out there last week for New Year's, and I don't know if I'm. You know, going to pick the Islanders to go to the finals or anything, but I'm sold on them as a good team. I think that, I mean, Halak has been okay. It's not like he's been carrying the team or anything, but, yeah, I really like them, and I kind of have a soft spot for them, too. And the only Rangers hockey I watched was when they beat up on the Sabres in the first period the other night. So.
They did beat up on the Sabres. That takes some skill, too, as the Kings can tell you, to actually beat the crap out of a team you're supposed to beat the crap out of, and they beat the crap out of them. Like, that was something to behold.
But then the Islanders turned around and lost 5-2 to the Oilers, so
yeah,
I'm just going to go ahead and not judge that one.
The Oilers are a juggernaut against the East, okay? They can't be stopped. But
apparently so.
The teams in their own conference, they have a big problem with, but the East, they are just friggin' runaway train. But yeah, so I don't know though. So the Islanders are pretty good. What do you guys make of Detroit? Did three of you pay any attention to Detroit? Are they because their possession numbers look pretty good? I don't know what to make of them, honestly.
Yeah, I think Detroit is that zombie that you just. That just won't stay dead. It just won't die, and that you have to like shoot it in the head a few times, which means you know Babcock leaves. Because I don't know, they just won't go away.
How many seasons is it going to be? They make the playoffs this year again?
2023, 20? I think.
Oh my God! Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I really thought they were going to be bad. The Detroit fans that I well, not bad, but really mediocre. The Detroit fans I followed thought they were going to be really mediocre, and they've turned out to be better than they expected. So I don't really pay attention.
Everybody thought
they were but.
I think everyone thought they were going to be mediocre just because, like, friggin' Ken Holland went hat in hand to every defenseman who had ever played an NHL game during the offseason, and they all said no. So I just thought, well, if they're that desperate that they can't even get, like, I don't even, who the hell did they ask me at the end that I was stunned wouldn't even go to Detroit? Ugh, it's going to bother me forever now. There's some defenseman that I couldn't believe would go there.
Oh, I think it was Ehrhoff.
Yeah, well, maybe it was Christian. I think it was Christian Ehrhoff, but... And that's not what I'm thinking
of,
though.
The Penguins.
Because he signed for the Penguins instead. There was someone who signed for, like, a really crappy team instead. I couldn't believe wouldn't go to Detroit instead of that team. But I can't remember who it was at the top of my head now. But anyway, so after that happened, I guess the Red Wings fans just thought, we have no defensemen. No one wants to play here anymore. We're going to be bad. But they still have enough kids. You know, I think Danny DeKeyser is a good defenseman for them. So, like... I don't know. I don't pay that much attention to the Red Wings. I want them to go away. I'm kind of upset they won't just go away. I'm glad they're not in the West anymore. Yeah. I mean, who isn't tired of the Red Wings except for the Red Wings fans? So we should like transition into the actual game this week. First of all,
I am not looking forward to it.
Okay, there's my first question.
You see, here's the thing. If they win in L.A., I'll be screaming, you couldn't do that in June. But if they lose in L.A., it's like, oh, well, I've seen this story before. Especially if they lose in overtime.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't know. Game one, was that within 5 minutes?
And then,
I think it was right around 5 minutes, but...
Yeah, and then game two was double overtime when What's-His-Face interfered with Lundqvist on the goal.
Yeah.
Oh,
dang,
the interference game, wasn't the interference goal the one that tied it?
Yeah, or
no,
it was like
it was,
4-3
no,
goal
it was
or something,
goal.
But...
Yeah, I don't know, it's all a blur.
It was a third goal.
Yeah.
I'm personally excited, but... I am still kind of griping about the fact that 2 years ago the Kings and Devils didn't really get like a, you know, there was the lockout, and by that point no one cared about a Stanley Cup Finals rematch when everything
was
back on the line. So again, there's not a bunch of hype around this one either.
There was no Kings Devils Stanley Cup Final rematch.
Yeah.
Because remember the 2012-13 was only played in your own conference.
Oh, yep.
That's right.
That's
right. So there was. Yeah,
I think we went to the first game that they played
against each other after the final. Yeah, and that was like November or December, whatever, 2014.
And hardly any Devils
fans.
The Sting wore off by that point, I imagine.
He did not give a shit at that point. They were more interested about chanting things about the Rangers.
Sure.
That's not as far as.
But yeah, so the rematch on Thursday, apparently no one here cares. We're all right there at Dale Sutter. like, as a Kings fan, I don't know how you feel, Eric. I don't really. Like, it's not going to bring me any great joy if the Kings win that game. And
it's a regular season game.
Yeah, like, see, I think that it means more to Ranger fans because we lost. You guys beat us already.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Canucks fans got really excited when they beat the Bruins after that cup final.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's why.
So,
I'm sure the Bruins won, they wouldn't have cared.
So the Rangers the Ducks on Wednesday, then the Kings on Thursday, then the Sharks on Saturday.
I know.
So you're going to get a dead Rangers team.
You beat the Ducks and the Sharks, though.
We'll try very, very hard.
That's fine. You can even beat the Kings too if you want. I don't even care. Just make sure you beat the Ducks and the Sharks too, if you're going to beat us. I don't want this to be like the start of the 13-14 season when you came out here, you got your butts kicked by the Ducks,
oh,
you got your
God.
Butts kicked by the Sharks. but you beat the Kings on just a quick home goal game. I was in a bar. I was in a bar in New York City for that. Do you know what it's like to be at a bar in Manhattan wearing a Kings jersey when Quick scores himself against the Rangers? It's not a fun time. Not a fun time. Would not recommend. But anyway.
And Quick never recovered.
Just don't do that again. Quick. Just don't do that again. Don't beat only us and lose to the other two. It's not fair. It's not right.
Well, my quick, we're talking about the matchup, but I'm going to interject because the other day, the one night that I was in the city, I went to a UCLA bar to watch the Alamo Bowl, and then I took the train back, and I proceeded to fall asleep and miss my stop. So I then had to take a cab for a few minutes, and I got in a very nice conversation with this cab driver who also really misses Anton Strahlman. And he was arguing, because he saw that I was wearing a Kings beanie, and he was arguing about the merits of Henrik Lundqvist versus Quick. And if he's listening, hi, cab driver. But I disagreed with him on the fact that Lundqvist, you know, he quoted some stat about how he's the same in the regular season. In the playoffs, he's got the same save percentage or whatever. He doesn't have an extra gear. But I don't know if there's really
an argument.
Wait a second.
He's a 920 regular season goalie and a 922 playoff goalie.
So if you're elite in the regular season and you're also elite in the playoffs, you're supposed to be – that's a bad thing?
I'm not defending the guy's case here. But I think it was actually because I'm looking and it's 914 for this regular season. So I assume that, you know, after the – finals last year or whatever, he had identical save percentages. But anyway, the point is, have you noticed any sort of drop-off from Lundqvist this year? Is there any sort of concern there? I've noticed he dipped just a smidge, but I was curious.
He had a slow start, but he actually always has a slow start, and people seem to always forget this.
He always has this bug in, like, October to, like, maybe late to mid-November, where he's just like, you know, I'm going to, like, not try. I'll go, like, 60%, and then I'll turn it on into God mode by, like, Christmas, and everyone will be afraid of me.
All right, I'll check that.
Somebody actually also showed the his save percentage against Tampa versus his save percentage against every other team he's faced.
Yeah, that was so great.
And the stark contrast. Like, basically, he'd, I think, already be at 920 if he hadn't had to face Tampa. It was, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because he played three games against the Lightning, and he had, like, an 807 or something in those three
games.
And
everyone else is, like, a 935.
Yeah. So, like, those three games against the Lightning killed him. But.
All right, cool. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Henrik Lundqvist is still probably a good goalie. Breaking news.
The other point that the cab driver made, other than I miss Strawman, Girardi sucks, was about the season Rick Nash is having. He's got 24 goals, I think. He's over a point per game, and especially after going scoreless in the finals this year, that's been sort of an interesting thing. And I know his shooting percentage is high, but again, do you think that this is something that's going to continue for Nash?
I think so. One of the big things about this year is that he's healthy. Last year he took a hit against, I think it was the Sharks in San Jose.
Yep.
I think it was like Brad Stewart or something.
Stewart's elbow? Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Brad Stewart, you don't say.
Yeah. He it knocked him out. It knocked him out for like 17 games, and he never really got his groove in. Or got into a groove.
By the way, this never happened according to Sharks fans because their players are always the most honorable and clean, and they're not like those cheap shot things. They never derailed this player's entire season. That's something only Dustin Brown would do.
Or Jarrett Stoll.
Or Jarrett Stoll. But.
So, I'm not seeing really anything different this year from Rick Nash, if you want to put it that way. I think that he just looks so much more healthier, and that he's doing things that I think he was to do last year because of his concussion. And because he also suffered a concussion the year before after a Lucic elbow.
Damn it, Lucic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so I think that he's just doing things that he's always done. The puck's just going into the net more, and he's feeling better about his game.
By the way, he actually, for a trivia note, because I wanted to look this up to see how his shooting percentage of 5v5 or evens compares this year, he had a season where he played 54 games and ended with a higher shooting percentage at evens than he has right now. I mean, in 05-06, he had a 21.7 shooting percentage of the whole year at evens. Right now, he's shooting 18.7. I mean, obviously, this is still way above his career average, but his career average is still, like, he has a lot of years in the high 11s or even, like, you know, last year he shot, or not last year, 2 years ago, he shot 12.8 in 2012-13. So, I mean, at evens. So, like, it's not like he's never had a high shooting percentage before.
His
lowest shooting percentage of his entire career is 8.2. So, like, at even strength, which is pretty high.
Yeah, it just wasn't Rick Nash level. He scored 24 goals last year, and it was all of a sudden, oh, man, what's wrong with Rick Nash?
I'm saying, like, his shooting percentage is high, and it's going to drop probably, but it doesn't have to drop that far. So, like,
right.
No.
I don't know. People expecting him to, like, never score a goal again at some point, or, like, I don't know. He's a goal scorer. That's what he does.
That's why
not that he's hotter than he normally is, but, like, of all the things I'd be worried about on the Rangers, like, pulling off, I wouldn't be that worried about Rick Nash.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just enjoying this so much. It's almost like it's a great I told you so thing for fans who were defending him during the, like,
because
we were saying that this isn't Rick Nash. He's just having bad luck. Now he's having all the good luck, and we're like, and I'm doing, you know, the I told you so dance in my chair.
My best friend who's a Rangers / Islanders fan. I just want to throw that out there.
How does
Kevin
that work?
So Kevin
no
can make
knows
a noise.
How that
but he was hating on Rick Nash so hard during the playoffs last year that I've enjoyed just being able to make fun of how long he was with this trade Nash crap. But anyway, Nash is really fun to watch play. He's probably the best reason to watch the Rangers, honestly. So, hopefully he keeps it up. But as for the game on Thursday, we should wrap this up with official predictions of this epic test. We should start with Nicole.
What am I supposed to predict? Just the score, or who wins, or what?
Just, I guess, both.
I don't know. What are the Kings lately? Like, what are their last 10 games? Their win-loss record?
Their last 10? I don't know. This past week, they went 1-1.
What do you
mean
you don't know, John? You write Twic every week.
I can tell you the weekly. I don't add the records. Not for them. They've been pretty average. Mediocre. How about that? But their possession numbers have been great.
Yeah. I mean,
Their last 10 games, they're 4-2-4.
Thank you, Eric.
I had to look it up.
Okay.
Is what you're saying.
You know, you're saying we got a chance. I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on whether the Quick or Bad Quick shows up. So I feel like that will do you guys in. So I don't know. I think it'll be a close game, like a 3-2 finish maybe. I don't know.
Thank you, Dale.
Kings 3-2.
Okay. What do you think, Kevin?
Oh, man. All right. It's going to be a tired Rangers team going up against a rested Kings team. I don't know if you guys play tomorrow.
True. They have 4
games. We have no games till Thursday.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I just remember that, too.
I would like to know, though, as a longtime Kings fan, I feel we always suck after long breaks. Maybe this is my, like, fucking what's the word, like viewpoint bias or whatever, perception bias talking here, but I feel like we suck when we have long breaks. So I'll throw that out there.
Alright, I'll say...
spend too much time down at the friggin' Manhattan Beach.
Is Gavrik healthy or no?
Is Gavrik healthy? Yes, he's as healthy as Marion Gavrik ever gets.
Healthy? He's healthy today.
Might not be by
Thursday,
alright.
Who knows?
There's
he's
several
play.
Days between now and Thursday, okay? Anything can happen. It's Marion Gavrik.
All right, let's. I'll say probably a 4-2 Kings win.
Okay.
I think they'll probably start Talbot in net on Thursday because it's the second half of a back to back. You'll get you'll get Henrik against the Ducks, Talbot on Thursday.
See, I wouldn't be surprised if Henrik didn't demand the Ranger game, or strongly push for it.
That's what I was
thinking
too, actually.
I don't know if he's done that in the past. I think AV might do Talbot Wednesday, Henrik Thursday. I'm not 100% sure, but either way, I'm just factoring in that a tired Rangers team coming off a strong Ducks team, strong albeit lucky Ducks team.
Don't fucking get in a one goal game with them. That's all I can tell you. You literally will not win, apparently, because they've yet to lose in regulation in a one goal game. Although you know what the Kings did. I just realized this. That was Vancouver's first loss in regulation in a one goal game. The Kings' epic two goal comeback, because they were like 11-0 and something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. I didn't even think that until just now. And I just wrote that stupid thing 2 weeks ago about the one goal games. Anyway.
All right, so I'll stick with my 4-2 Kings win prediction. I just think that it's a really bad time to get the Kings. I'd rather have them where both teams were fresh. But coming off that Ducks game, I think it's good. Like they'll probably I could see them beating the Ducks in a shootout or something, and then going into the Kings and like laying an egg or. or trying to scratch and claw against them because you're just so tired.
All right, so Eric, what's your pick? Eric?
He's thinking.
Oh, wait, sorry, I was on mute. Anyway,
no, he wasn't, apparently.
Yeah, I predict the Rangers will go into Anaheim and outplay the Ducks and lose 2-1, and then they'll come into Staples Center, and the Kings will play really well, but the Rangers will win 2-1.
Oh, God.
Eric's on the right track. Now, okay, before I make my prediction, I want to remind people of something. It's the Kings on a long break. It's the Kings on night two. It's the other team on night two. We're back-to-back, which always means we lose, usually badly. So I would like to say, because it's the Kings and this is what they do, it's going to be 5-0 Rangers. That's going to be...
It's also worth noting that this is similar to a banner night. It's going to be the Kings remembering and celebrating a great victory, and those always just completely collapse. So.
Oh, wait. They're doing the banner night that night?
No. I'm just saying it's a similar sort of feel. And
like how they shit the bed against the Sharks the first night.
Right.
I think the Kings are gonna get their butts kicked. Because what we do? We have a long break. Everybody drinks way too much at Manhattan Beach or whatever. Maybe they got the Carter and Rachel's got some power out or something. Who knows? Allegedly. And then they all come in on Thursday and they're terrible. The Rangers, who should be tired, skate circles around them and win 5-0. So that's my prediction for the epic rematch.
Any own goals from Quick? Any,
probably.
Why
not?
How many own goals by Quick?
Over under on own goals by Quick. No. But yeah, so now we have our
over
official.
Over under on goals by 30.
Oh, over like 3.
All right. So that's Kings Rangers. That's on Thursday. When is the second game? When's the game in New York? I'm trying to remember.
I want to say March. March 24th.
Yeah, it's in March. Yeah.
So maybe the Kings will win that one because they're not winning on Thursday.
That's what happened last time.
Yeah, it's true. They did win. Both teams won on the road. Although the 2014-15 Kings went on the road. Ha ha! Joke.
All right.
We're over an hour, so we should wrap this up. Any final thoughts from the blue shirt duo?
I just hope that this West Coast swing ends up a lot better than the one last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be embarrassed. That's all I ask.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think we'll be embarrassed.
I don't think so either. I could see them taking. Let's see. They go Ducks, Kings, Sharks, and then the Islanders on this trip. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see them taking probably 6 or 7. Or actually, no. Let's go conservative 4 of 8 points.
They go
Ducks, Kings, Sharks, Islanders, Bruins.
Nice. I'm not looking forward to this. Bruins will find a way to win.
Oh, yeah.
I hate them so much.
Stupid.
I hate to
so, yeah, never just... I could see them... they could win all three of these games on the West Coast. I don't think that they win all three. It should be an interesting little week for them.
Yeah.
All right, folks. that's, I guess. Thank you both for coming on. I guess Nicole can come back. Nicole can come back out of the living room now.
Yay! Free!
And now we get to see if Canada doesn't blow a 5-1 lead against Russia.
They did.
Wait,
it was 5-4, apparently.
Well, it's now 5-4 in the third period.
Okay. I've been trying to follow along on Twitter, but it's been so bad.
So I hope you guys are not rooting for Russia, all right? Because what the hell?
I'm just rooting for the range of prospects to be good. You know, declare.
I'm not rooting for Russia, but I'm not rooting for Russia.
That's good, I guess.
I want to see overtime.
Anyway, so, I mean, I'm not surprised Canada is almost about to blow this because it's Canada and the World Juniors, but I'm very sad. I'm glad we're ending the show on sadness.
I think they'll win.
I hope so. I mean, you should want Canada. When didn't Russia knock you all out this year? What the hell?
Yeah, they did.
It's about revenge. You want them to win gold? What's wrong with you? What kind of American are you rooting for the Russians that knocked you out?
I said I'm not rooting for the Russians.
Now you're just
but
the
I
Russians.
I said I'm not rooting for Russians either.
You know, this was the 50s. We'd all get killed for this.
Eric, you should be passionately waving a Canadian flag right now, is what you should be doing. The fact that you're not is faithful to America.
I don't have a Canadian flag in my apartment, so we're out of luck.
I don't know. I guess we should wrap this show up. Next Monday, we will have a podcast because the Kings do not play until 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. So we can come on at 6 Pacific and do it, even though the Kings are playing on Monday again. I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe we'll bring a Leafs guest on or something. We'll see. It's going to be Kings Leafs next Monday. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Thank you again.
Is that just going to be an hour of Leaf self-loathing?
I mean, if we have a Leaf guest on, it sure will be. Yeah, exactly. Well, what else are they going to talk about? I mean, have you ever talked to a Leaf fan for more than 10 minutes?
The glory days.
If they're old enough to remember.
Happened.
Yeah, well, I know lots of Leaf, not lots, but I know plenty of Leaf fans and that's all they usually want to talk about is how dumb their team is. So I'm sure that will be the topic du jour if someone from the Leafs comes on next week. Anyway, so
still not safe in the living room.
trying to wrap this up, everybody. Go Canada, screw Russia, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, good night.
Bye.